Today's shiur is Masechet Vayasura, Daf Tzadik. We will begin Bezer Hashem Yisborach on the Pei Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Braisa, we were in the middle of a Braisa. The Braisa continues to discuss the types of measuring cups, etc., that one is allowed to have in the house. And the focus of the Gemara is that, as we learned so extensively in the previous shiur, because Chazal were most concerned that we shouldn't end up with a situation that somebody will cheat someone else with the measures. And therefore says the Mishnah, the Braisa Avloisa, saw somebody could have a measuring cup that is the size of a saw, Tarkov, which is a chatzi saw, chatzi Tarkov, which is a kav and a half, v'kav v'chatzi kav, v'roiva kav, the tumen is an eighth of an akav. The chatzi tumen is a beya and a half. The uchla, and immediately asked the Gemara, v'kami uchla, exactly what is the size of an uchla? Says the Gemara, echad mechamisha b'reviya, a fifth of a kav, which is a beya and a fifth of a kav. Continues the Braisa. Till now we've been discussing what are the shiurim by a liquid measure, by a dry measure, and now we begin discussing what are the measures by the liquid measure. What are the sizes? So when we're talking about a liquid, hin, which is 12 lugin, which is the equivalent of a tarkiv in a dry measure, chatzi hahin, 6 lugin, which is a kav and a half, shlish is a hin, a third of a hin, which is 4 lugim, which is a kav. Revi is a hin, is a quarter of a hin, which is the equivalent to 3 lugim. Loig is 6 bayim. Chatzi loig is 3 bayim, which is the equivalent of what we just said of a tumen. Revi is of a loig, which is a bay and a half, which is a half a tumen. Shminis, an eighth of a loig, which is 3/4 of a beya. Vechad mishmaina bishmainis, an eighth of an eighth of a leg, which is a 64th of a log, says the Gemara Zeu Kartav. And this amount that we just identified is what we have throughout Shas as a Kartav. Very often the Gemara speaks about a mikveh, and the mikveh, we know what halach is, and a mikveh has to have 40 saw. And the Gemara speaks, in the Mishnah, in Masechet Mikvos, often speak about a case where it's chos a kartiv. Now we know how much is a kartiv is. So we begins the Gemara. When we identified the measures in dry, we spoke about a tarkiv, which is 3 kavan, and a chatzi tarkiv, which is a kav and a half, and we never spoke about 2 kavim. Ask the Gemara, v'leved nami kabayim, why isn't there a shear of 2 kavim, which is a third of a saw? Just like, ask the Gemara, that we just spoke about the liquid measures, we spoke about a third of a hin, why shouldn't we have a measure which is a third of a saw? Answers the Gemara, the reason we don't have that, they did not make such a measuring cup, we're concerned that if they're going to confuse the 2 kav measure with the 3 kav measure. Since the difference is only a third, the buyer won't really recognize that there's a third less, and therefore, to avoid any type of that kind of a mix-up, they didn't make a kabayim. Ask the Gemara. So based on what we just learned, Almata in Shibat Tilsa, people can make a mistake in a third. Ask the Gemara, if that's something that happens, Ihachi, so when we're speaking about dry measures, Kav Nami Loy Levid, why is there a Kav measure, Dosil Echufi B'chatzi Tarkiv? That means, as we said, a Chatzi Tarkiv is a Kav and a half. So ask the Gemara, if people make a mistake of a third, so the difference between a kav and a tarkiv is a third. And we're saying now that we're trying to avoid any time that we could have such an error? Answers the Gemara, El Kabayim, the Tanatam de Leavid, why don't they make a Kabayim? The Osla Chlufa Bechatzi Tarfkav. A Kabayim is 2 kav, a Chatzi Karf is 1.5 kav, so the difference is a quarter. And the Gemara is saying that a mistake of a third is not a mistake of a third people will recognize, but a mistake of a quarter, which is a smaller mistake, obviously, people will not recognize. And therefore, to avoid that problem, Chazal didn't let us have these 2 measures. So says the Gemara again, according to the way we're explaining now, Almatai in Shiriva, people are going to make a mistake when there's a quarter difference. So ask the Gemara, if that's the kind of mistake that is going to happen, Ihochi, then Ihochi, Chatzi Tumen ve'uchla lo'yeved. We shouldn't have a measure of a Chatzi Tumen and an Ochlov. A Chatzi Tumen is only a fifth bigger, is only a fifth bigger than an Ochla. And if we're saying that people make a mistake of a quarter, they're certainly going to make a mistake of a fifth. Amar Papa, Midas Ktanis, or Papa says, when it comes to making, when we have these very, very small measures, Bekia by Inchi, people are familiar with those kind of measures. And because people are familiar with those type of measures, they won't come to make a mistake. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Shlisha Sahin, Revi Sahin, Lo Levid. Why do we have a measure of a third of a hin and a quarter of a hin, which is just a quarter of a difference? Because, as we learned, a hin has in it 12 lugim. So a Shlisha Sahin is 4 lugim. A Revi Sahin is 3 lugim. And we say, we're learning now that whenever there's a mistake of a quarter, unless it's very small measures, we're learning now people make these kind of errors. So if people make these kind of measures, make these kind of errors, why do we allow to have both of these type of measurements? Answers the Gemara, Kivan the Habib of Migdash, since both of these type of measurements took place in the base HaMigdash, and as I saw, the Rashbam explains, in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have measuring cups with marking on it. Every type of measure had its own cup. And therefore, So since we needed these types of measuring cups in the Beis HaMikdash, that's why Chazal did not make a gzeira. But ask the Gemara, if the concern here is that people make these kind of mistakes, so ask the Gemara, b'migdash nami ligzer. So why do we allow these type of measuring cups to be used in the Beis HaMikdash? Answers the Gemara, because kahanim zrizim hein. The kahanim are very careful, and the kahanim don't make mistakes, because kahanim are very careful. And the Meiri explains that the way to understand this Gemara is not that people don't make mistakes. But in the where were these type of measurements typically used? These type of measurements were typically used in the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara is telling us we have Kohanim. And since we have Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to supervise that there shouldn't be any mistakes, even by regular people. But then I saw the Shoyle Meshev asks a question. We often have in Shvath, the halacha is that ain't Shvus b'migdosh. That even though throughout Shas is replete with Isuri d'Rabbanan that are relevant in the Beis HaMikdosh, but the Gemara says ain't Shvus b'migdosh because Kahanim's reason hain. And the Poskim very often say that that's a halacha that's said vis-a-vis Kahanim's reason is a halacha that said regarding Hilchus Shabbos. The Kahanim are careful not to violate Hilchus Shabbos. But based on what we're learning in our Shia today, it's not a din in Hilchus Shabbos, it's a din in everything. So we have a much broader application, says the Shoyle Meshev, of the concept of concept of Kohanim Zrizimim. The Pesach can point out the halacha typically is that if somebody is over a lav that doesn't come with it with an active maisa, what's known as a lav shem maisha, there is no malchus. For example, the halacha is if somebody has owns chametz over Pesach, he's not and he's over by your raw by your matzah, it's a lav shem maisa, and you won't get malchus. The Rambam, when he speaks about the halacha that we've been discussing, about somebody who has faulty weights, is over the Asurim, says that there's no malchus, because having such a weight is a lav shemer maisa. However, asks the Or Sameach, yes, I can understand for just having a faulty weight, you're not going to get malchus, because it's lav shemer maisa. But why, if you actually, chas v'sholem, use such a weight, should you not get malchus? And the Rambam doesn't say that. Just like the halacha is, that if somebody doesn't just own chametz on Pesach, but he manufactures or buys chametz, he'll get malchus. So the Yivri Yecheskel says, the reason that there is no malchus, because the Rambam says, the man at Torah, one doesn't violate the Isser of faulty weights, unless he maintains or manufactures them for the sake of defrauding people. So in other words, the Isser of these type of weights is only applicable if there was an intention to cheat. Now, even if we'll see somebody having this type of a weight, manufacturing this type of a weight, we won't be able to definitively say that he did it with the intention to defraud. And since we won't be able to say he won't be able to that he intentionally defrauded, even if we warn him, it'll be Hasra Sofik. And since he'll be Hasra Sofik, that's why the Rambam says you'll never get malchus. Moreover, I saw, based on this halacha, that the Chofetz Chaim, Rav Shlomo Bloch from Yerushalayim, who was a Talmud of Chofetz Chaim, said that in the town of Radin of the Chofetz Chaim, there was a person who manufactured measuring cups. But the Chofetz Chaim told this person, you can manufacture the measuring cups, but as we said a moment ago, many people who have measuring cups have the measuring cup has markings on it for every amount. The Chofetz Chaim was so concerned about what we're learning in our shurim, about the need for honest weights, that part of the job of making those markings, that only the Chofetz Chaim did, and he didn't allow anybody else to do. It says the Gemara Mishmul, Emesif and Alamidus Yosem Mishtos. If the people of a place want to change the size of certain measures, the halacha is, you can never change it more than by a sixth. In other words, if there was something that we said is the equivalent of 5 bayim, we can't make it up more than up to 6 bayim. Because Chazal were concerned, anything more than that could be abused. They used to change the value of money. The halacha is that you can't change the value of money, of a coin, more than a sixth. V'mistaka, we're going to speak about each halacha individually. V'mistaka al yistaka meres mishtos, somebody who's selling something for profit cannot sell it for more than a sixth. And the Gemara explains, we can't add more than a shtos when we change measure. My tama. So Gemara tries to understand what is the reason for such halacha. Says the Gemara, the reason for this halacha is that we're concerned that it's going to cause inflation. In other words, if the concern here is that by changing the measure, you're going to get less for your money, then it's going to create inflation. So if that's the case, then the halacha is that you should never. Then the halacha is you should never be allowed to change the size. Ella, says the Gemara, Meshumayna. A halacha that we've spoken about many times, that the halacha is that if somebody overcharges, or frankly, as we've learned, undercharges. So the halacha is, if the amount is less than a sixth, we assume, as we learned in Masechet Matzah, that both parties are meichel. If it's exactly a sixth, we learned the halacha is that the transaction is deemed valid, but even though the transaction is deemed valid, the halacha is that the overcharge, the undercharge, has to be returned. If it's more than a sixth, then the entire transaction is considered a mekhtas. So the reason, the concern here is Mishumayna, the Laila have a betel mekach, if it could change by more than a sixth, and the people will not be aware that that's what happened, we're going to have a mekhtas, says the Gemara, and because of that, we're trying to avoid it. We're trying to avoid that transactions should not be voided. Ask the Gemara, but here we're not speaking about selling something and overcharging. Here we're talking about measuring. And says the Gemara, Vama Rava, Rava taught us, Kol Dava Shebamida B'Mishka, whatever we think, whenever we speak about something that is sold by a measure or by a weight or by a number, I feel Pachsbuk Dayanah. It doesn't make a difference. The halacha is always it has to be returned. And the Rishonim explain that why is that the halacha? Because there it's a clear misrepresentation. If I said I'm selling you X and I'm not selling you X, when it comes to a value, we could have a discussion. But when you come to me, the Mishkul Minyan, there's no room for this discussion. There is a big machloikus Rishonim. What is the halacha if something was given not with the right measure? The Rimagash and the Rajbah Sem, that the halacha is that the sale is still considered valid. You just have to give back the amount that was overcharged. The Rajbam differentiates between real estate and metaltlin. He says by metaltlin, the sale is voided. By karka, you have to pay back the amount. The Ramban and the Ran say that it depends. If it's something that could be corrected, that means I was supposed to sell you 12 eggs and I only gave you 11 eggs. So that's something that could be corrected. So let me give you the amount that I was supposed to give you. But if it's something that can't be corrected, I was supposed to sell you an acre of land and I gave you less because there is only less, that can't be corrected, and that's when the deal is off. The Yad Rama says a little differently. He says that what the halacha is that it depends if what I bought has use. So if I bought 11 eggs, I contracted for 12 eggs and I got 11 eggs. 11 eggs are useful. They're not what I want 12, but it's not that the 11 eggs don't do anything for me. But when I wanted a certain size of property, I want to put up a house a certain size, and I got a smaller size, that can't be corrected. However, Tosfos' opinion is it doesn't make a difference, all the different points we just made. Tosfos says the halacha is that these things that the Gemara just identified, if it wasn't as agreed upon, the halacha is that we have bitul mekach, and the halacha is that the deal is off. Says the Gemara, but so if that's the case, we're back to where we started. Why did they make a rule that we can't change measurements by more than a sixth? El delah have a pasay delatagra. We're concerned that the business person who comes from a different city to sell his merchandise here in this city, and the halacha is that, as we learned, that we're going to learn, the profit margin is a sixth. If we're going to change the measurements by more than a sixth, he won't be aware of this change, and he's going to sell, and he's going to lose money. So if the change is only up to a sixth, and the profit is a sixth, the worst that could happen to him is that he's not going to make money, but he's not going to have a loss. Ask the Gemara. That doesn't make any sense. Say the Hudala Havale. Yes, we've protected him that he won't have any loss. But Rav Chalai Boy, doesn't a businessman need to make profit? Says the Gemara, Sovin Vizovin, somebody who sells product, merchandise, and he doesn't make any profit. Tagra Ikri is called a businessman. So why are we saying that protecting him, that he's not going to lose any money, is good enough? That's not a protection. El Amar Rav Chisda, Shmuel Kro Ashka Fadarish. Where did Shmuel get this halacha from? He found it in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel, V'ahes shekel esrum gerim esrum shkolim chamisha v'esrum shkolim asar v'chimisha shekel hamana yelechem. That the Torah, the Pasuk teaches us that the mana of Hegdish is three manim that they used in three different places. There were places that the mana was 15 sloim. There were places that the mana equaled 25 sloim. And there were places that 20 sloim, I mean, and there were places that the money equaled 25 sloim. If you put them all together, you have 60 sloim. And the Pasuk says that the value of the mana of Hegdish was 60 sola. Each sela had in the 20 gerim, which the Pasuk says, we know, Esrim Gera HaShekel, says the Gemara, but Shmuel said that the mana is 60 shkolim. The equivalent of 60 shkolim is 24 denarim. But we know that mana, ma'av esrim hava, at the 24 denarim in a mana, we know that a mana has in it 100 zuz. And if a mana has in it 100 zuz, then it doesn't equal 20, which doesn't, it's not 24 dinarim. Answers the Gemara, Shema Mino Tlas. What do we learn from this Pasuk? Shema Mino, Mana Shel Hegdish Kofel Cholun. The mana of Hegdish is double. The mana of Chulun has in 100 dinarim, which are 25 sloim. The mana in Hegdish has in it 200 dinarim, which is 50 sloim. V'shmamin ha-mesifin al-amidos, that we learned that they added to it, and the mana of Chulin, after they added to it a sixth, was from 100, became 120, which is 30 sloim, and the mana of Hegdish, which is always double, became 60 sloim. But what do we see from here, says the Gemara? Vei mesifin yos mishtus. When we add a sixth, the Shema Mina, we also learn Shtusim Lebar, which is a common point in Shas. When we think of a number, if we have the number 100, and we think of a fifth, we say it's 20. In Shas, when we have 100 turning into 120, it's a sixth. Because 20 is a fifth of 100 when we measure it Milgav. But it's a sixth of 100 if we take the 100 plus the 20. And here we're saying that when we measure it that way. The Gemara said that when it comes to making profit, that the halach is that you can't make profit. Shmuel said, "Amistaka ayistaka yos mishtus." So the Rambam said that this halacha only applies to things that are necessary for chayi nefesh, foods that we have to live with. But when it speaks about, when we speak about luxury items, the Rambam says that this halacha doesn't apply. The Torah also says that when we speak about this number of a sixth is only in a place where the seller is selling a large quantity, he doesn't have a lot of expenses. But he says, let's say you have a storekeeper who sells in small quantities, their halacha is that, of course, the shtus is after all the expenses are counted. The Rashbam also says that let's say I bought an item, and when I paid whatever I paid, and there's a shtus that I'm allowed to add to it as profit. Says the Rashbam, let's say the price of that product that I bought went up. So do I figure the sixth according to the price that I paid, or do I figure it according to the current price? So Rashbam says we look at a current price. But because when we make this calculation, we make the calculation based on replacement cost. And if I need to buy this product now, I would have to pay the new price. The Torah also quoting the Rama says that this is only in a place, this halacha of not profiting more than a sixth is only in a place where there's a strong bezdin in place. And since there's a strong bezdin in place, they can ensure that these halachas will be kept. But if it's in a place where we don't have a strong bezdin in place, so there's no one that's going to enforce it, so as soon as one person will violate this, it'll affect everybody. Once that says the Gemara, once that's the says the Torah, once that's the situation that this is unenforceable, or similarly, if it's a place where non-Jews live, and obviously when we speak at a place where non-Jews live, they're not obligated to follow all these rules, and therefore it's not going to be a system that could be protected. So all that, this halacha that there's a limit on the profit would obviously not be applicable. Says the Gemara, Papa Shmuel, Takin Kailabat Tlosa Kapizi. He made a measuring cup that held in it 9 lugan. Amalei Vam Shmuel Emesif and Almidas Yosem Shtos. And this is more than a Chatzi Tarkiv that we began with, because a Chatzi Tarkiv is a Kav Vachatzi, which is 6 lugan. 9 lugan is more than a sixth. Amalahu on the Kail Khadatakini. He says, it's not that I changed the measurements, I made a new type of measuring cup. So that's not changing the measurement, that would be a violation of the halacha that we just learned. Says the Gemara, Shadri l'Pumbadisa, they sent this cup to Pumbadisa of Loikablua because of this halacha. Shadri l'Funya, but they sent it to the city of Papunya, the Kablua, and they accepted it, the Karlei, and it was called Ruz Papa. It's the cup of Rapapa that Rapapa created this measuring size. Simon Oitzer Paris, Enoitzer Vemetzim, Mestakrim, Pamayim Bebayim, Masriim Velemetzim. These are a simon to reflect on the various halachas that we're about to begin learning. Tanaban Oitzer Paris. People who buy a lot of fruit, they buy up the merchandise and they put it into a warehouse. And by doing so, they limit the amount of this product that's available in the market. And that's what causes the price to go up, which, as we're going to be learning, which we're learning in the Gemara, is improper. Malvi Beribis is what we just learned. Malvi Beribis, as we know, that interest. Maktinei Efer, that they sell with dishonest weights. Mafkia Shorim, they charge more than the price that has been established in the market. Alayim Kosov Oimer, regarding these pasuk, the people, the Navi Omer says, Shimazois Hashafim Evian Lashbis Aniye Aretz, people who take advantage of poor people. Lama, and they say, Masa Yava Chodesh, they say, when will the month go by? That means, when will it be later in the season? And then we'll be able to raise the price. V'nashbira shever. Or, what happens, v'ashevas v'niftach abar. When will the Shemitah come? That the people, there won't be that much fruit, and we could take advantage of that. L'hakdan eifa, how can we manipulate the weights? Well, l'hakdal shekel, or we're going to make the shekel not what it really is. How does that mean that they do ribis? Well, avis mosnei meirma, and they try to make more money dishonestly. The ksiv, the pasuk says, nishba Hashem begoyin Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes this very powerful shvuah, and meshkach lenetzach lesehem. I will never forget what they have done. So of course the question that everybody asks is, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentioned here as Goyin Yaakov? Says the Ein Eliyahu. The Chazal teaches us in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, V'chaltiyo Nachlus Yaakov Aviyocha, Loike Avram Shekosu Bahum Esalech Ba'oros L'Orko L'Rokbo, V'loike Yitzchuk Shekosu Ba'kil Zarach Etnes Kol Arat Yisrael, Elke Yaakov Shekosu Ba'Furatz Da'yom Ba'Keyeva. Yaakov got the greatest bracha from all the others. He was promised that he would have incredible wealth, says the Gra. This person who tries to cheat, what is he showing? The person who tries to cheat says that unlike Yaakov Avinu, who believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him whatever he's supposed to have, he thinks that he has to use all of these dishonest methods that to make money. A person who acts in such a way that he thinks he has to cheat to make more money is the exact opposite of Yaakov Avinu. And that's why the Shvua is made in the name of, that's why the Shvua is made specifically in the name of Yaakov Avinu. Says the Gemara, Amar Eitzer Peris Kogayman. So ask them, what is the example of an Eitzer Peris? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kogayman Shapsi Eitzer Peris. Shapsi would store the fruit in order to raise the price because he would control the amount that was in the market. Says the Gemara, Vud Shmuel, Mazman Lel Peir B'Tara Chafa. The father of Shmuel would sell his fruit early in the season. And by selling it early in the season, and he sold it at the price, now it's cheap, Katara Khurfa, the same price where he sold at the beginning of the season where it's more expensive because there's not that much produce available. He sold it like later when there's plenty produce. Shmuel Berei, Mashal Berei, would hold on to the warehouse of produce, or Mazmala B'Tara Afla, and he would sell it later in the season Katara Kharf at a good price. So they both did things, says the Gemara, to make that the price should be legitimate. But says the Gemara, Shochem Etam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Tava the Abba Medebra. What the father Shmuel did is better than what Shmuel did. My Tama, says the Gemara, Tar the Ravach Ravach. What happened with the father of Shmuel is that since he right away made sure that the price should not be high, so he controlled that the price should not be high, which is fantastic. Shmuel let the price get high and then pushed it down. It's much better that the price should never get high versus preventing it from pushing it down. Amarav, Oysa Adam is Kaba Oysa. A person could take his payris and put him into the warehouse. There's no obligation, the Gemara says, that not to put produce into the warehouse. What the Gemara has been teaching us is that you're not allowed to, says the Rashbam, buy up the produce in order to create a shortage in order to raise the price. Tanya mehachi, ein oitzer peiris, dvaram shesh b'mchai nefesh, anything that is absolutely necessary, kigon yayin ishman v'saltis, avon tavon v'kamen v'pilpulin, these are different types of spaces, they're not necessary for living. So there, we don't have to be so concerned. Mutter. However, madvar mamurim, belekech menashuk. That, as we just said, is only a problem if you buy from the market to get the price up. But avol shemachnas mishaloi, to put your own things into your own warehouse is mutter. There's an interesting discussion amongst the rishonim if this is halacha strictly in Eretz Yisrael, which is halacha even in Chutz Laretz. And the Rishonim seem to say if it's a place that is inhabited mostly by Jews, that even in Chutz Laretz, this would be halacha. But there is a case that you're allowed to put away fruit in Eretz Yisrael for 3 years. Erev Shvius v'Shvius and Matzah Shabbos. Matzah Shvius. When it comes to Shemitah time, and we need to have, and we're not allowed to work the field, so putting produce into the warehouse to make sure that there's enough supply is permissible. And says the Gemara further, in a hunger time, a fil kav charuvim, even a small amount of carob, lo yatzer, neshemachnas ma'ar b'sharim, in a time, even though it's not chay nefesh, but it's a time where everything is so price sensitive, therefore the halacha is that we're not allowed to we have to be very careful. There's a machlokes in the Paiskim when we're saying that in hunger years we have to be more careful. Is it only on Dvarim Shesh B'mchai Nefesh or is it on anything? Amalei Reb Yosef Bar Chanina Puga Shammai. He said to Puma, his assistant, Puk, Vatzli Peir L'Shol L'Shonim, and the reason was the reason that we said that we're just allowed to do it because it was Erev Shvius, Shvius, or Matzah Shvius. Tana Banan, Emetzim, Paris, Metzisrol, that we're not allowed to export fruit from Metzisrol. Dvarim Shein, Shpem Chai Nef, is something which is necessary. Kigon Yenis, Shmanim, Vesaltis. Rav Yehuda ben Seir, Matta B'yayin. Rav Yehuda ben Seir says there's no problem with exporting wine. Rav Shemat is a Tifla. Wine is not always the best thing. It could cause alcoholism. And therefore, having less wine in Eretz Yisrael is not such a terrible thing. But, says the Braisa, Shem Shem Etzim Etzis Maritz L'Chutz Loretz, just like we can't export from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Loretz, Kach Eim Etzim Etzis Yisrael L'Surya. Even Surya, which is right next to Eretz Yisrael, but we know that Surya is a place of a kibush yochid, that many pshatim in what makes it a kibush yochid. One pshat is that David HaMelech only captured Surya for his own purposes, not for Klal Yisrael's purpose. Another pshat is that not of all of Klal Yisrael participated in capturing Surya. Another pshat is that he captured Surya before he finished capturing all of Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara. So since Surya is not considered Eretz Yisrael, so you're not allowed to even export from Eretz Yisrael to Surya. Rebbe Matir, Rebbe says you're allowed to export Mefrach Lefachya, and there's two pshatim. One pshat is Mefrach Lefachya, that even though you're not allowed to export to Surya, but from one region in Eretz Yisrael to another region in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to export. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that even though you're not allowed to export from Eretz Yisrael to Surya, but you're allowed to export from an area in Eretz Yisrael right next to an area in Surya. The border can export. The Imri Emes says, Al Gemara just said that in Emet Sin Paris Eretz Yisrael L'chutz Laretz. But we know that when Eliezer, asked the Imri Emes, left the home of Besuel and Lavan, he took along Paris. And the question is, how is he allowed to take Paris to Chutz Laretz? So the Leif Simcha answers that we know that not only did when Eliezer went to Yisrael, Chutz Laretz, he traveled, the trip took much quicker than it was supposed to take. Similarly, when he traveled home, it also took quicker. So he took along enough fruit. He took along enough fruit that he should have to travel from there back to Avraham Avinu's home. And he expected it would take such amount of time, but it took quicker. And that's how so take what he needs for the trip is mutter. He ended up having extra because the trip took much. It took much longer. And I saw that the Sefer, the Yitzbe Yosef, says that we find in the dialogue between Eliezer and Lavan and Rivka and Besuel a very interesting back and forth. First they tell him, Hine Rivka lefanecha, here you could have Rivka kach v'lech. Take her the th lebenanecha. They right away agreed that Yitzchak and Rivka could get married. And then when they start talking, they said Nikol and Nara v'nishlos pia. We have to see if she's agreeable. What happened? So he explains that at the beginning they assumed that Aram v'Rayim was Chutz Laretz and Yitzchak lived in Eretz Yisrael. And the halacha is that a chosen can make his kalo, or vice versa. The kalo can make the chassan live in Eretz Yisrael. So when they said, kach v'leich, if you want to move to Israel, excellent. But now that he brought, they saw that Eliezer brought all sorts of fruits with him from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Aram Naharaim. And they started thinking, how is he allowed to bring those fruits? When learning now, you're not allowed to take fruit from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. It must be that where they're living is also considered Eretz Yisrael. So if they're living in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no point in saying, well, you have to go live by Avraham Avinu, by Yitzchak, because you can force the girl to move to Eretz Yisrael. We're ready in Eretz Yisrael. Ramosha in a tshuva, in the Shalos of Tshuvas Igris Moshe Yerodei Chel Gimel Simen Kuf Lamedalid uses what we're learning in our Gemara for a very important lesson. In our Gemara, we're learning how we have to be so careful about pricing by anything which is chay nefesh, anything that is needed for life. So he says that the cost of a burial, the cost of a levaya, of a funeral, is included in chay nefesh. Unfortunately, if somebody passes away, we have to make a levaya, and we have to have the ability to pay for the levaya, and therefore, says Rav Moshe, included in what we learned in our shiur today is making sure that the price of a levaya is not exorbitant. So we just learned that we're not allowed to take produce from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. So the question is, we see that produce is sold from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. So the Shevet Alevi, Chelek Bei Sim Kuf Ches, says that what's the reason that produce may not be sent from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz? Because we're worried about the conditions, the financial conditions for the people who are living in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Shevet Alevi, the export of produce from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz is actually for the benefit of the people living in Eretz Yisrael. They're exporting the produce, and that's how they are able to earn money. So that's why you're allowed to export. Moreover, the Masham already has a tshuva that there were people to export it, as we know till today, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, Esroigim. And in fact, the Michas Elazar, Chelik Beis, Simon Mem suggests that we should not be allowed to export Esroigim from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, based on what we learned in our Gemara. But the Masham says that if you plant trees, if you plant Esroigim trees, which your intention is that the Esroigim from those trees should be sent to Chutz Laretz, of course, then you're allowed to export them. There's also a question, what about sending Sfarim from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz? Because again, if you'll keep the Sfarim in Eretz Yisrael, then the Yerushalmi says there'll be more Sfarim available to the people in Eretz Yisrael at a decent price. The Paiskim, however, say that this halacha, number one, was not quoted in our Gemara. Our Gemara doesn't speak about Sfarim not being allowed to be exported. And moreover, and the Michas Elazar actually says the same, that this halacha is not quoted in the Bavli, not in the Shulchan Aruch, not in the Paiskim. And moreover, as we've been learning, if when the Sfarim are printed, they're printed with the intention that they're going to be sold not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even in Chutz Laretz, it's no different than what, certainly no different than what the Masham says regarding the Sroigim, and they may be exported, even according to the Yerushalmi, to Chutz Laretz.